Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the hosts of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved, cast out demons, and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of souls, join with us and attack the hosts of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com. You may also donate by sending check or money order to 9030 West Sahara Avenue, Suite 665, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89117. We thank you.
Are you ready? Ready to take a ride? Grab your coffee and strap yourself in, because the show is about to begin. From the front lines of America, Babylon, and transmitting worldwide on the internet and satellite, you are listening to Omega Man Radio Network with Shannon Davis.
Everybody, welcome aboard. We're right on time. Let's kick it off. Our Monday. Is today Monday?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And double as far check. As I know.
Monday, October 3rd, 2022. It's an honor to be here with Major Tom Baird and Professor Tom Mack. Brother Baird, check the spelling of your name. I think we got it wrong up there. Just heads up. You might have
to fix that. That's something he's got to fix on his side.
Okay.
How do I do that?
You go into the settings.
Okay. I know you can do it definitely when you log in.
Where is the settings? Oh, here it is down here. Share settings. Here we go.
I don't think you can do it except when you first log in, but we'll, for the sake of time, let's just keep going. Gentlemen, welcome aboard. Would you like to open us up in prayer?
Go ahead, Tom.
Surely. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can spend together tonight. We ask for your guidance and your hand upon us. We ask that you deliver us from evil and protect us from harm. And every listener and whoever will listen to the program in the future as it is streamed and they access it, Lord, we pray that you supernaturally lead us and guide us, for it is only by your spirit and your wisdom and your knowledge that we can endure in these times. We thank you, Father. We thank you that you are our God and that we can follow you, and a marvelous provision and set of provisions that you do thousands of millions of times in that many details and more. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Gentlemen, okay, the mic is yours.
Well, since it's beginning of the month. It's sort of an interesting beginning of the month because Wednesday's Yom Kippur, at least for most people. Now, those who think that we follow on the dark moon will have their Yom Kippur tomorrow. And a couple of people I know aren't having it until Friday. And to me, it's pretty clear it's 15th, or the night of the 14th day. And so basically, it's a time a lot of people fast. The Bible's word is that you afflict yourself. I don't know how you're supposed to afflict yourself. We do it plenty in our lives. But one thing I do remember is in 1973, the Egyptians decided to use that holiday to attack Israel. Worked for a little while. But then in the end, it was their army that was surrounded. And if it wasn't for Mr. Kissinger, I think we would have seen Israel occupy most of Egypt, which would have been ironic. Because honestly, I don't think the Israelis were interested in occupying Egypt. But it's just where the momentum took it. But tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about current events because we've seen some things happen in the last few days that are disconcerting, to say the least. You know, the news media has been talking, oh, the Ukrainians are counterattacking and they're taking back land. What they don't tell you, and that's going to be something we're going to talk about a lot, is what the media doesn't tell you, is the Russians are giving them that land because it shows no strategic importance. But the other thing that's gotten very important is Russia's now mobilizing 400,000 troops, which means they're going to about double what they have there now. And from what I understand, they're already setting things up and two of the regions and could be attacking in a few days. Other people say they're going to wait until the rains stop, which are happening right now. Apparently in Ukraine they have rain like they used to have monsoons in Vietnam, and I'm sure Major Baird is very familiar with monsoons. So, Tom?
I'm trying to get back to you. I don't know. I'm off in Never Never Land here.
Just go down at the bottom of the screen and hit that settings, close it out. Can you see Brother Mac on the screen?
No, I don't see anybody. I don't know where I got settings, setting up your stream. No, I don't want to do that.
Okay. Why don't you just you want to just log? I'm going to kick you out, and you just go back and click on that link. It'll bring you back in.
And watch where you spell your name.
Yeah, that's where you'll fix
yes,
your name.
Yes. Okay.
Here we go. Okay. Brother Matt, continue on.
Well, I shall try to, but one of the things that Major Baird is going to explain to us in a few minutes is the real disaster that came with the reporting in Vietnam. What he saw over in Vietnam bore no relationship to what our media told us was happening. And it's one of those things that's been a common problem. I saw it in the Gulf War. They kept showing the same video of them firing a bomb down a tunnel to blow up something. Same video over and over again. And I'm saying, didn't they do any other bombing there, or did they just do that one place? And suddenly we're given this glorious picture of how well this war is going. So well that George W. said, ah, let's stop it. We're done. Everything's cool now. Or George H.W. said that. Well, what happens 12 years later? George W., not H.W., just W., decides to go back. Somehow, we're supposed to understand that Saddam Hussein had something to do with 9/11. Never could make the connection, neither did the media. But suddenly, there we are, back in Iraq again. In fact, I had a nephew who was over there longer than my father was overseas in World War II. And that was... Finally, my sister called me up one day and said, we need to get him out. Because he's got a wife, and he's got a life back in the States, and he's getting too used to being over in Iraq. And honestly, for what he was doing, it was no different than playing video games. Because the Iraq wars, to me, just did not seem like real wars. Would you agree with that, Tom?
Well, it was not a full-fledged, on par nation that was we were confronting a inept third world country, and with our assets, our air assets and our equipment assets, we could easily overwhelm them, as opposed to what we would end up with if we tried to do that with either China or Russia right now, because they have military hardware that's more advanced than ours. We cannot assume or even get to the point of air superiority at all. And without air superiority, you're lost on the battlefield because there's no place to hide.
Yes, they will find you. And that's one of the things. Some people have said, oh, we'll never go over there. Now I'm not so sure. Now I'm not so sure because we saw today two events. One, Russia has annexed the eastern part of Ukraine. And I'm pretty sure their next move is going to be to go to Odessa. And when they go to Odessa...
Well...
Go ahead.
Yeah, it actually I got it from the Durand, or Duran, I shouldn't put a D on it, it's just D-U-R-A-N. From their report, the lower house in Russia approved it today. It goes to the upper house, the same equivalent to our Senate. They approve it tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, President Putin, just like all presidents, then signs it, and then it becomes actually legally done. And they're going through it by the numbers. It's interesting. They're building a case, a very strong legal case, and I'm not sure why they're patienting that and allowing Ukraine to use everything they can to throw the kitchen sink at them with a superior force in strong points causing grief and propaganda grief more than anything else, because President Zelensky, or Olensky, I guess is the way you pronounce his name, is a propagandist. He's nothing but a comedian, a actor. And so he's well-versed with all of the propaganda that you have to have.
And how to play people with it.
And how to play people with it. And so you have an insignificant little post that Russia says, this is insignificant, we're going to pull our small garrison out. The garrison they had there was 500 men. And the Ukraine opposing forces were about 6,000. So that was 12 to 1. And with the artillery support that the Russian batteries provided, they were able to hold off that amount of disparity. But they've been doing it for 3 weeks. They were getting outflanked. The Ukrainians were able to break through and come in from the north, from the west, and from the south, leaving only the east that they couldn't breach. And so they sent in a major Russian force that came in, picked up that small garrison, and escorted them out so that they would not be overrun and annihilated. So once the Russian forces moved out of there 2 days ago, then the Ukrainians came in and occupied the deserted, by the way, town. The town used to be, I can't remember the name of it now, but used to be about 15,000 before the war started. It's essentially been bombed and fought over so much now that there's nobody or hardly anybody, maybe one hermit or two that are still living there, but that's about it. And so with no opposing forces, the Ukrainians were able to go in there. And of course, once they got there, all they had to do was just take a photo shoot with a flag and look what we did. We just captured Russian territory. Yeah. Lyman. Yeah. And so, and that's the way the narrative goes. So they end up with our propaganda media, which is nothing more than just a pack of lies tailor-made to persuade people's opinion to believe the narrative that they're doing great and marvelous advances and things. And
they haven't done anything at all.
And they haven't done a thing at all. No.
Back years ago, just to give people an idea of how propaganda works, back around 1980, back when the Soviet Union was still going, apparently they sponsored a race between an American car and a Russian car. Well, the result of that race was the American car won. But how did Pravda spin it at the time? That the Russian car finished second and the American car finished next to last.
Yeah, next
that's
to
truth.
Last.
Truth. No, have I said anything wrong?
No, but you got the impression by that particular formation of the statement, and it's very obvious, and that's exactly what's been going on here. But it's extremely dangerous when you are working with psychopaths in the White House and in the presidency of the Ukraine government, which actually go out and have made statements of, please send me all of your technicians and scientists so we can put together these spent fuel rods from our power plants and extract uranium from them and make a dirty bomb so we can explode it and blame it on Russia. That is dangerous. But that's a statement that was actually made. And the rhetoric that our particular media and our government, not just the media, but all of our government is from the State Department, the Pentagon, and all of the three-letter agencies, are all parroting the same thing, is that President Putin is threatening to use nuclear weapons, when in fact all he said was, if you, United States, use nuclear weapons as a blackmail against Russia and the Russian people in Ukraine as your false flag, I will respond, and we have the full arsenal of all our weapons that we can use. That's all he said. He didn't.
Well, he's a careful man. He's not going to tip his hand. Yeah.
No, he actually was a lawyer. You know, he was trained as a lawyer anyway. So
he was trained as a lawyer. He was a KGB colonel. This man knows how the game's played.
And
unfortunately, a lot of the people under him are not so good.
No, he has actually been able to keep his cool, to be calm, even though he's maligned and disparaged by every leader in the book, particularly in the United States, falsely, by the way. I'm not sticking up for him. I'm just saying what we are doing, and it's just an anathema to me that we would be lying so much, because I've been taught all my life never to lie. Have I lied? Yes, I have. And I have a guilty conscience about it. Have I confessed it and brought it before the Lord? Absolutely. Have I asked the Lord to remove it from me? Definitely. But our nation doesn't know how to humble themselves and come before the Lord and ask for forgiveness and go backwards. And that includes the false flag that our own government perpetrated in the gas and oil pipelines going through the North Sea. Well, it's not the North Sea, but there between Russia and Denmark.
The Baltic Sea.
And so that particular sabotage was all of the our ships were the only ones there during the explosions. And they were an attack force for an amphibious operation. In other words, Navy SEALs. Who knows whether we had the assistance of a submarine down there that has unmanned
drones.
Underwater drones that can place, you know, they had to place explosive devices there that were more than 1,000 pounds of TNT, equivalent to 1,000 pounds of TNT in each spot. And they created 4 ruptures in those pipes. So you had at least 4 parcels there to begin
with. And that's assuming they're using conventional weapons. I'm not so sure right now. Because why are they suddenly saying, oh, we can't go in there and investigate right now? I started hearing that. I'm saying, we've got technology that storms don't bother us anymore. Why are we suddenly not going in there?
Well,
makes me wonder if somebody hasn't already detonated a small nuke. Similar.
Oh, very likely could be. Yeah. I doubt it. We have conventional explosives that can do the same job. So,
yeah, but
why risk that?
Who wants to cart a big conventional explosive around when a light one will do very nicely?
Well, yeah, but you do have a signature, and nobody has ever picked up a signature of the radioactivity in the area, so it's not there.
Well, like I said, yeah. I don't know that anybody has, because nobody's gone back there to investigate.
Well, you don't have to be on site to pick up the signature.
Pick up radiation, and I just know I would like to have a rad meter and go in there and check for myself.
Well, every military ship has those particular meters with them.
Yeah,
so they can.
I'm just saying, I'd like to have one in my hand and be able to.
Yeah, that's true.
Check
that's
it
true.
Myself.
Well, but the problem is, you can tell that this was done by one faction, probably the White House, and probably one or two sections in the White House, with the cooperation of obviously the military. And probably
some faction elements of the military. Of
it. Yeah. And they didn't think beyond just doing the event. Ask yourself, what nation, what peoples will benefit the most? And who has been so adamant against those pipelines in the first place? It's always been United States.
In fact, Joe Biden said something about blowing them up several months ago. Everybody thought he was jesting. Now you just wonder. I just said, oh, come on, he's just jesting. He does that. That's one of his habits, is he'll do funny things. I still remember when Reagan made that little statement about the Russians, and he was jesting and everybody knew it.
Yeah.
But I still
wish he hadn't done it. Well, the problem is, but President Biden, because of his lack of cognitive ability at this point in time, simply blurts out some of the top secret things that he knows without even realizing that he's disclosing it.
Yes.
And that's dangerous.
Very dangerous.
This whole escalation that we're using, and the particular anti-diplomatic stance that we have chosen to take to refuse to negotiate. Back when there was peace talks going on in Turkey, there was actually an agreement on the table, and it was almost ready to be done. This whole conflict probably would have been wrapped up in less than 6 weeks had it occurred, because it was early on, right after, it was early in March, and who came? Boris Johnson came and demanded that the Ukrainian president, yank it off the table and refuse to negotiate and go back to war and make the statement that we're going to settle this matter on the battlefield. Well,
and now what's happened to Boris Johnson? He's out.
Well,
and
yeah.
And now we have a little lady in there who's
about as inept as my cousin. Oh, I'm sorry, not my cousin. Let me not get too personal here. About as inept as a one-year-old trying to learn to talk.
But what we've had is we have the new British Prime Minister, and she is looking at a monetary collapse of the pound. And her Chancellor of the Exchequer, that's equivalent to our Secretary of Treasury, he seems clueless as well.
Yep.
And honestly, I think the problem has gotten so big that there isn't anybody who can handle it. I wouldn't want the job. Well, some people would say maybe I'm qualified.
Well, the solution is very easy. The solution is absolutely very easy. You know what's caused it? Their own declaration of sanctions against Russia, which have boomeranged and come back and bit them in the behind.
Yeah.
They only have a forward gear. They don't have any reverse gear. They can't stop. They can't reassess things. They only have pride and arrogance, and they're going to continue to go on more and more and more and more until they have destroyed themselves economically, militarily, and almost as a civilization.
And that's what's sad about it all, is you have this grand civilization, and what's interesting is we're starting to discover, you know, we've Blackett, and I can't remember the name of the other guy, has shown us,
Blinken?
Yeah, that we have so much of our history there, especially probably the Baird family, and on my mother's side, the Catlin family. Mm-hmm. So much history there, and we're about to lose it all.
Yeah.
And I've been amazed that we have seen Britain go down so much. And I don't know if they can turn this around now, because...
Well, they can't. They can't, because the only way you're going to turn it around is to admit what's happened and pull back the sanctions and allow... Even doing that with the Nord Stream pipelines destroyed, there's no way to remedy the situation anyway, because you can't get the oil and the gas back into Europe where it belongs, and ultimately to the United Kingdom as well. And the idea that we can have liquefied natural gas shipped to Europe, we can't match that. Those pipelines were furnishing 55 billion barrels each one. That's 110 billion barrels of gas, and we can't match that. We don't even have it ourselves.
Well, what's worse,
we've capped all our wells. We haven't. Biden himself personally gave the order. He wants to destroy us. He wants to see us dead. I'm upset.
I mean, it's everything that's been done here. It continues to amaze me. We put these sanctions on Russia. Russia laughs. It's fine. We'll sell it. We'll sell it to India. We'll sell it to China. We'll sell it to Japan. Because Japanese are at least smart enough to realize we're going to have to pull away.
Yep.
And when we go to Daniel and start looking at these different countries, we're starting to realize that these leopard countries... And we've studied them in the past. Maybe we'll have to bring them up, because the Bible codes. I first thought when I would do the leopard, oh, that's China. It's got to be China. But then all these other countries kicked in that I wasn't expecting. And I suddenly realized, Tom, you're wrong. You're wrong. This is a region. And now... we're watching it play out as a region. I did not expect that. And India is just about, they closed their banks for the next, 20 days. We used to call it in the United States a bank holiday, except I never knew of a bank holiday to last 20 days.
My goodness, no. I've heard of it lasting for a week.
I think,
in fact, my dad got caught in one. I think it lasted for 2 weeks, and while he was there, he had just come in from working the sugar beets for the railroad, so he had been gone out of pocket from his domicile, and for a month. And he came back in. He needed to get money for groceries and so on. And as he stepped up to the cashier's box, he said, "Sorry, we have just closed and we will not open for 2 weeks." And he said, "Well, what do I do? I have no flour. I have no ingredients for any food at all. I'm completely without cash. All of my cash was in your bank." And the owner said, "Well, I can help you out on that." He says, "We own the coal that's up behind our house there. You go on up there and go on down into the shaft and dig some coal out, and we'll trade coal for your goods." And that's how he kept from starving to death.
Yeah, well, I remember from starving. You know. My grandfather, just the day before the bank closed in Bill Schneblin's hometown of Jessup, Iowa, he had gotten his money out and gone to pay his property taxes, which in those days was an 8-mile trip, which was a little bit longer than we think about now. Now we travel 8 miles and think nothing of it. In fact, I travel 80 and think nothing of it.
Yeah. Well, you know why my father told me why the in Michigan, why the counties are 30 miles? Because the county seat is in the center of the county, and the farthest corner you can go 15 miles towards the town, do your business, and go 15 miles back, and that's a full day with a horse and wagon.
In Iowa, very similar thing. The little county I grew up in, you go 15 miles to the west, you're in another county. Go 15 miles to the east some way. 15 miles to the north, 15 miles to the south. And Iowa's built on 99 counties, and probably 80 of them are 30 by 30 blocks. The only reason there isn't 100 counties in Iowa is because they took two of those 30 blocks and put them together. We had the name of the county is Kossuth County. And its county seat is in the middle of these two stacked counties. It's Algona, Iowa, a place I've been to many times. And well, when I was growing up, we went through a lot of counties in Iowa. And at one point in time when I was in grade school, I could name all 99. I can't now. But usually if I
see... That was a requirement. Did you know that was a requirement for all sixth graders in my dad's time?
Yes. How many counties are in Michigan?
I don't even remember now. I never actually memorized them. My dad did. But I was never required to.
And the only reason I did is because I had an older fifth grade teacher. And you might say, "Oh, that's got to be terrible. She must have been a dictator." No, she was the best teacher I ever had. Mrs. Van Lanningham, and she was such a good teacher. In fact, a lot of the reason I ended up academically the way I did was because of her.
Right.
She was one of the first that understood my math ability and let me run with it. And no, my mother had already given her plenty of warnings, but some teachers didn't listen, others did. And she was, in fact, I think she was the oldest teacher I had. But going back to the subject at hand, I think one of the things we have to understand is governments never tell their people the truth about war. Let's go back to Vietnam.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
How many times did you say something when you got home that contradicted what your family had heard about what was going on in Vietnam?
Well, my family was fairly well versed because I happened to write my wife a letter every day. And if I was going to be out on an extended operation of 3 days, I would write three letters prior to going out on the operation. And of course, numbered each one and dated each one for the day that it was supposed to go out. So they were kept up to date on what was going on. Unfortunately, it put way more pressure on my wife than what I intended. I didn't intend to scare the living daylights out of her, because what I thought was fun was what she thought was horrifying.
Yeah, sometimes in the Army you get sort of a weird sense of humor about things. You think it's fun to go out and throw a few grenades, even though they're going to shake an entire city block.
Well, that or go out and run in front of the enemy and see if you can go fast enough before they can shoot you.
Yeah, see if you can draw some fire. Well, that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what I was doing. Yeah.
Or go out there with. Another thing we used to do is go out there with the Laws rockets and see how many tanks we could destroy. They'd have these tanks with the engines and the gas tanks taken out of them, so you could hit them 1,000 times and still not do anything with them. Mm-hmm. Or one place I was